appreciated. We've been talking about Jesus and getting to know Jesus and really looking at the question, do you know my Jesus? And looking at Jesus in different capacities that the Bible speaks of Jesus and different names the Bible has for him and looking at Jesus as the Bible describes him in different ways. And how does that relate to us? And in our lives today, what do we do with Jesus in all these different capacities? And we've looked at Jesus as the Creator. We looked at Jesus as Emmanuel. We looked at Him as the Word, and we looked at Him as the Teacher. This morning, I want to focus our attention on looking at Jesus and the question, do you know my Jesus as your Lord? Okay, looking at Jesus as Lord this morning. I want to encourage you to turn over to Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18, the text that was read for us as we began this morning. What we find here is a description, so to speak, of Jesus. Okay, and notice the first part of this and what it's saying here, describing Jesus as the image of the invisible God. Okay, so when you see Jesus, you see God. Okay, so those who in the religious world today, Christianity, would say, well, Jesus wasn't God. Well, that's not what this verse says. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created. We looked at that a few weeks ago when we were talking about Jesus as the Creator. There was nothing that has been created, John says, that has been created without Him. Okay? He is the that all things were created by Him and for Him. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by Him and for Him. Verse 17, He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Now that's an interesting statement about Jesus as Lord, because I don't know about you, but how many times in your life have you ever felt like that your life is falling apart? Ever felt that way? You know, like my life is coming apart at the seams, okay? It's not being held together. Well, here's an interesting statement. When you look at it, you realize that the Bible says that with Jesus, all things are held together, okay? And brethren, I think that means our lives too. And so when Jesus is Lord of our life, then He's going to hold our life together. Even when we think it's falling apart, okay? When we think it's falling apart, it's coming apart at the seams, He'll hold it together. We may not feel that way at the time, but that's what it says, that He holds all things together. Now, verse 18 is where I want us to really concentrate for just a moment. He is the head of the body, the church. And He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. Now, some of your translations use the word preeminence there, okay? Preeminence, basically, that word means having paramount rank or importance. Okay? The Greek word that is used there is proteo. And that word literally means holding the first place. Okay? So, what Paul is saying here is he's writing this and he says, so all of these things are true so that Jesus will be holding first place. Okay? Holding first place where? In our lives as Lord. He already holds first place in everything else. In all of the world, in all of the universe, He already holds first place. The only place, I'd suggest to you, the only place that there is any question whether Jesus holds first place is in each and every one of our lives. You see? He wants to hold first place there too. I saw a bumper sticker years and years ago that I just thought was the coolest bumper sticker, and it's always stuck with me. In fact, I had a T-shirt made at one time. It doesn't fit me anymore, but I had a T-shirt made with this logo on it, and it basically is saying exactly what this is. And so I want you to think about it this way. Maybe by thinking about this logo, it'll help you to remember this passage. The bumper sticker said this: the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Sounds kind of crazy, doesn't it? But think about what that's saying. What is the main thing in life? The most important thing that you and I can ever do is to keep the main thing, which is Jesus, as the main thing in our life, so that He always will have supremacy or hold first place in our lives. You see? The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. If Jesus isn't the main thing in our life, then He isn't Lord. You see, that's something we've got to come to terms with. Too often, there are other things that become the main thing in our lives, and all too often that main thing is ourselves. And as long as ourself is the main thing in our life, then Jesus is not. Then we are not keeping the main thing the main thing. We've allowed something else to take that place. And here Paul wants us to know and to understand the importance of making sure that in our lives Jesus has the supremacy or the preeminence or first place. That is, that He is the main thing in our lives. So what do we want to do? What do we want to remember? Say it with me. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. You see? Remember that, as just kind of corny as it sounds, and it will help you to remember to keep Jesus where He needs to be as Lord of your life. Now, look over in Colossians chapter 2. Okay? And let's talk about roots here for a second, or as some people call them, roots. Okay? Depends on what part of the country you're from. We're going to set down roots. Okay? Roots. What do roots do? Think about that for a moment. You're thinking about plants. Plants have roots or roots. Okay? Those roots go down into the dirt. And one of the things that they do is that they feed the plant. Right? Right? Okay? The other thing that they do is that they hold the plant firm in its place. Okay? If you don't think that's what roots do, then go out there to your garden and try to pull some of them weeds out of there. Okay? And you see what those roots are doing, and you're pulling this way, and the roots are holding on, you see, because they don't want to be pulled up. All right? That's what roots do. They feed the plant, and they hold the plant secure. Now, keeping that in mind, look at what Paul says here, chapter 2, beginning in verse 6. He says, "So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him." Okay? So, if you receive Jesus as Lord, in other words, you said, okay, He's the main thing in my life. He has supremacy. He has first place in my life. Since you have done that, He's saying, continue to live in Him. Well, how do we do that? How do we continue to live in Christ, having made Him Lord of our lives? Look at what he says, verse 7. "Rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." You see, I like the way that Paul uses that word, rooted. You see, rooted and built up in Him. Because you see, if you think about it, just like we were talking about the plants, if we have our roots, if we are rooted in Jesus as Lord, just as we received Him, then two things are going to happen with us, right? What are they? Number one, we're going to get fed, okay? And number two, we're going to hold firm in Him, because that's what roots do. See? That's what roots do. And that's how we need to be with Jesus as our Lord. That's why He says, if Jesus is truly our Lord, since you received Him as Lord, you got to look at where your roots are. See? Allow yourself to be rooted in Him. So you are fed by Him, and so that you remain firm, holding on to Him. And you look at the other things that He talks about here in this. You see, I think that's how we continue to live in Him. That we have our roots grounded in Him. So we are fed by Him. As we've been talking the last couple of weeks about Jesus being the Word and Jesus being the teacher. What is it that feeds us? It's the Word. You see? But also, that we are strengthened in our faith. Okay? And how does that happen? As we are taught and we are overflowing with thankfulness. You see, when Jesus is Lord of our life, when He truly holds first place, then we're going to be looking to Jesus to be fed. And we're going to be looking to Jesus for the strength that we need as we face the things that we face in this life, to be able to stand firm in that faith. That's what roots do, you see? And you and I know full well, as we've talked about many times before, every day we face the potential of struggles and problems and issues, don't we? That Satan is always trying to attack us and to pull us down. But when we are rooted, you see, in Jesus Christ, then we continue to be nourished by Him and His Word. And that gives us strength to be able to stand firm in the face of whatever opposition that Satan is throwing at us. You see, if the roots of a plant aren't down deep enough and they're not holding on, they're not going to get the nutrients from the soil that they really need. You see? And especially when life is tough, when that sun comes beating down and, you know, and whatever else happens, if the roots are not down deep enough and they're not holding on, then that plant's going to wither and it's going to die. And that's why we need to be rooted in Jesus Christ as Lord. Not just in Jesus, but as Lord. You see? I think there are a lot of people in the world that are rooted in Jesus, but He's not Lord of their life. And there's a big difference between those two. You see? He's got to be Lord of our life. That is holding first place. And then, it always comes back to, as we've talked about many times before, a matter of the heart. Okay? Look over in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. A holy heart. Verse 15. But in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. And then he goes on to say, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed, of their slander. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. What does that mean? I think what that means is to let Jesus sit on the throne of your heart. Okay? Did you know you had a throne in there? Yeah, you have a throne in there. Okay? And Jesus needs to be the one and the only one on that throne. You see, because that's how we set apart in our heart Christ as Lord. That we seat Him on the throne of our heart. If there's anything or anyone else there, then He is not Lord. See? And again, all too often what happens is we put other things or other people and even ourselves on the throne of our heart. And when that's happening, then Jesus is not Lord of our lives. And what that means then, when Jesus is on the throne of our heart, when we have in our heart set apart Jesus as Lord, then that means He gets to rule instead of us. He's ruling in your life instead of you. He's ruling in my life instead of me. And that really solves the problem. And mentioned this earlier, you know, we talk about oftentimes, you know, the whole situation of, I know what the Bible says, but. You know, I've mentioned that many times before. When Jesus is truly Lord of our life, when we have set Him on the throne of our heart, see, then there is no, I know what the Bible says, but. See, we just do what the Bible says. It goes back to what we were talking about in our Bible class this morning. It's having the kind of trust in God that allows us and causes us to do what He tells us to do, no matter what. See? And that's what it means to have Jesus as Lord. See? Basically, we don't get a say. See? We don't get a say. Because it's all about Him. See? I don't know about you, but I know in my life that's a struggle, because there are a lot of times and there are a lot of things that I would rather have my say. I'd rather have it my way. I don't know if any of you ever struggle with that issue in your life, but I do. And the way that I battle that is to remind myself that Jesus is Lord. See? And if He's my Lord, then I can't have it my way. As much as I might want it my way in this situation or this scenario, I can't have it my way because He's Lord. And that, I get helped to do that when I remember that saying. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. It sounds kind of corny, but it's helped me over the years. It really has. I always remember that. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. But let me ask you this question. What's the main thing in your life? See? Right now, in your life, what's the main thing? See? Is it, you know, somebody? Is it your job? Is it, you know, your house, your physical possessions? Is it something you want to do and have wanted to do all of your life and you're working towards that particular point or anything else? If it's anything that fills that spot besides Jesus, then Jesus is not the main thing. And therefore, He's not Lord. So the challenge that I give to you this morning is to really take a good, quick self-examination. Who's the main thing or what's the main thing in your life? And if it is anything except Jesus, then you need to get rid of it. You need to replace it with Jesus so that He is the main thing in your life, and you need to keep Him there, because that's the main thing. All other things that we do in our life are second to keeping the main thing the main thing. Okay? If Jesus isn't the main thing in your life, maybe you're already a Christian, but you haven't kept Him there, then let's help you get Him back where He needs to be as the main thing. If you've never made Jesus the main thing in your life because you've never accepted Him as your Savior, you can do that this morning right now if you're ready to do that. If you're ready to make Jesus Lord of your life, then confess Him as such. Repent of the sins that are separating you from God, and you can have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism right now this morning. I know it's all back behind there, but it is back there, and it is ready. See? And so I don't want you to think because we have all this stuff up that you can't do that this morning, because you can if you're ready to make that commitment. We're going to stand and sing an invitation song. The Lord's invitation is open to you. it's an opportunity for you to either for the first time or to put Him back, to make the main thing in your life. Let's stand together and sing.